Hey everyone, it is Kevin Henry, the editor-in-chief for Doctor by Cuspid, as well as the host of the Dental Assistant Nation podcast. Hey, really glad to be joined today by a good friend of mine, as well as somebody who's doing a lot of good things out there with the dental industry, and that is Linda Ricketson, who is the president and CEO of the Dental Lifeline Network. Hey Linda, how are you today?
Hi Kevin, I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Glad to really highlight what you all are doing, as well as a major milestone that you've just gone through. But first, tell our audience a little bit about Dental Lifeline Network, and then let's dive into some things.
Sure, happy to. Dental Lifeline Network is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. We were founded in 1974 by a dental student named Dr. Larry Coffey. His sister, Harvey, lived with developmental disabilities, and so he was able to see firsthand how difficult it was for her to access care. And so our first program is called Campaign of Concern, and it's still running in Colorado today. It's essentially an educational hygiene program for people living with disabilities and their caregivers, just in Colorado. And then in 1985, we created a program called Donated Dental Services, or DDS, and it is now across the country. And our headquarters are still in Colorado, but we have staff across the country. And we serve patients who are elderly, living with a permanent disability that's mental or physical, medically compromised patients. These are people who need life-saving care, chemotherapy, dialysis, liver transplants, and they can't get dental clearance. And amongst all of these are also veterans who qualify for this care. And the way it works is patients are seen in a general dentist's office. The general dentist puts together the treatment plan and decides whether or not to take the case. And then our coordinators help along the way to ensure that the specialists that are required for the case and the labs that are needed to complete the case are all provided.
That's very cool. And again, 50 years. So congratulations to Dental Lifeline Network for reaching this milestone. And you talked about the changes that have happened in Dental Lifeline Network along the way. Can you talk a little bit about some of the impact? I mean, are there some numbers of patients that have been touched through Dental Lifeline Network through the years?
Right. Since 1985, we have served over 170,000 patients, and the value of that donated dental treatment we track, and it's well over $550 million at this point. So it's really remarkable. And this is all built on a volunteer network of dentists and labs, and we couldn't do it without them for sure.
Okay, so let's go down that road, because I want to know the volunteer side of things. How has that changed since COVID? Have you all seen an uptick, a pullback? And what does somebody need to do to be a volunteer?
That's an excellent question, Kevin. We have seen a decrease in the number of volunteers, and that started with COVID, but it also started with retirement. A lot of dentists hitting the baby boomer age are retiring, and younger dentists are going into dental service organizations where they're uncertain whether or not they can volunteer. But we've now built out partnerships or relationships with almost 30 DSOs. We're in varying stages of that relationship, but are hoping that those dentists will also begin to volunteer for us.
That's great.
What was the second part of your question? Oh, about how to volunteer.
Yeah, how to volunteer.
It's so simple to volunteer. Yeah, it's so easy. That's kind of our motto, is we want to make it easy for the dentists and easy for the dental office. Our coordinators handle the triaging and ensure that the patients show up for appointments, et cetera. So the way to volunteer is simply to go to our website, which is whyidental.org, and you can sign up right there and learn more about the organization. And we simply ask that dentists take one patient per year. One or two patients per year.
That's great, because that was the next thing I was going to ask you, is I think whenever people volunteer, they think it's going to be a full day. They think it's going to be a lot of time out of their schedule, but you all are asking honestly for a very minimum amount of commitment here.
Right. Just one or two patients per year. And the patients show up at the office and they're just like any other patient. They just walk out the door without paying anything.
Well, and I know, you know, obviously the dentist is so important, but it takes the team as well being involved. And how do you get team members excited about this project as well?
We attend a lot of conferences and we get time with office managers, dental assistants, dental hygienists, and they're instrumental often in having the dentist volunteer the time. And obviously, everybody from the front desk all the way through to the dentist have exposure to the patients. And our patients are some of the most grateful patients that they have in their office. And so it is really rewarding. And we hear often from the dentist how impactful it was for the entire office to be involved in this volunteerism. It really does help boost employee morale. And it helps, I think, with workforce shortage issues for employee, you know, for getting talent, recruitment, and retention.
Do you find the dental team members often are the ones who say, hey, this is something we should get involved with?
Yes, absolutely. Most definitely. They have a lot of influence with the dentist.
That's cool.
So we definitely see office managers and hygienists and assistants. All of them will approach the dentist. Sometimes at a conference, we'll talk to a dental assistant or a dental hygienist, and then they'll come back a little bit later with the dentist.
Hey, that's always a good thing. We know those assistants have their dentists here, so that's great. You know, and you mentioned a minute ago Why Eye Dental, and I know that's your website, but I also know that that's something you did at the recent Chicago Midwinter meeting, kind of asking that question. And I'm curious, you know, we talked a little bit about that on Dr. Bicuspid, but what were some of the things that stood out to you whenever you asked people at a Chicago Midwinter?
Well, I will say that I've been in the nonprofit sector for 30 years, and I've never really seen the level of volunteerism that I've seen from dentists and just the caring and compassion. Most of my conversations end with, how can I help you? And so what we're hearing from dentists, it really helps them, and anybody in the dental industry, you could answer the question, why eye dental? I can answer the question, why eye dental? But we're really hearing people went into this business to begin with because they wanted to help people. They recognize the need. And so it really is bringing them back to that feeling that anchored their interest in becoming a dentist or in go into the dental field to begin with.
And I do love that because I think we often need those reminders about why we started doing something in the first place. And I think working with something like this, as you said, is that reminder of the life-changing impact that dentistry has every day.
I was just going to say, so we had a booth at Chicago Midwinter, and it was really fun. We had people sharing why they dental, and we put together a video about it. And it was really fun to hear some of their reasons.
So let me ask you the question I know you get asked all the time, and that is, you know, I already do charity, I'm busy, whatever it might be, those barriers are sometimes why people don't work with Dental Lifeline Network. How do you get past those barriers, and what are some of the answers that you have provided to help that happen?
That's great. I love that question. I think that Missions of Mercies and the other stand-up events or taking patients in your office is terrific and certainly doesn't hurt anything that Dental Lifeline Network is doing. But I think that the benefit of working with Dental Lifeline Network is that our staff is doing that work for you. The patient calls our coordinator and they make sure that they're qualified. They put together the case notes, the triaging notes, and send that to the dentist's office. And then they're the ones that are calling the patients, making sure they're showing up and bringing in the specialists. So we really do a lot of that legwork for the dentist's office.
And I think that's great because you mentioned earlier, dental practices are short-staffed right now. There's a lot of things that people feel like, oh no, it's one more thing. But you all are really doing the heavy lifting in a lot of cases to make sure that when a patient walks in, it is really just focused on their needs and what needs to be done.
And one of the differentiators with our patients are the patients that can go to one of a stand-up event. I mean, our patients require more than just having a cavity filled or a tooth extracted. And this is really comprehensive care if it's happening in the dentist's office through our program.
That's really cool. So I guess what is a goal that you all have for this year? Do you all have goals in terms of dental patients you'd like to reach? Or what are some of the things that you all measure success at Dental Lifeline Network?
Sure. We measure success by way of the revenue that we were able to secure. And obviously, most important and fundamental to our mission is how many patients we're able to serve and that donated dental treatment value. Like I said, we track it, but we have very little control over that. So we're just trying to serve as many patients as we possibly can.
And I want to highlight something that you said earlier, because it's a wide range of patients, you know, including veterans, including those who maybe can't afford the treatment. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes to make sure that the patient that walks in there is matched properly with that dental practice.
Right. Most of our patients are at around the 150 federal poverty level percentage.
Is it something, I'm curious, I've heard a lot of talk about, with the migrants that are coming in, there's a lot of need for dentistry there. Is that something that you all work with them, or is there another program out there that does that?
I don't know that there is another program that does that. Certainly there some of that some of those individuals end up becoming our patients. That's not really one of our criteria. We're really looking for the disability or the medical compromise, the elderly or the veteran status.
That's really cool. So what's something that maybe is a misnomer about Dental Lifeline Network, or there's one of those myths that needs to be busted about it, maybe?
I will say one thing that happens. We'll be at a conference and we'll be talking to someone, asking them to volunteer, and they'll say, "Oh, I already volunteer for the donated dental services program." So I think oftentimes they don't realize that Dental Lifeline Network runs that program. And the other misnomer, I think, is that people just don't understand that the care is actually free. We do have some patients who are dubious about it. So they don't recognize the program is actually free.
All right. Well, I know you mentioned the website a minute ago, whyidental.org with WHY. And then how long of a process is it from the time that somebody signs up on there to maybe when they see their first patient?
Another great question, and it depends really on the state. There's a calculus that happens whether we have volunteers in the state, whether we have patients in the state, whether we have the coordinator hours to do that. So it can be 6 months before they see a patient. And oftentimes, if it's one of the medically compromised patients, we really expedite that care because of the life-saving nature of it. So that could be 3 months.
And then last question for you. I know care is needed everywhere, but is it more rural than urban, or do you find any demographics that maybe a need is greater right now than others?
I would say that it sort of follows the population. I mean, in inner cities we have more people, and so the need is greater. But rural brings a different consideration. A lot of times travel can be a barrier, but we find that people who live in rural communities are excuse me, are more comfortable driving. They're more accustomed to going, 15, 20 miles to get to the grocery store. And so they're more willing to travel, but we work with them to make sure that they have travel. They have people that can help them get to appointments.
Well, Linda Rickinson with whyidental.org and the Dental Lifeline Network. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And hey, thanks to all of you who listened to this episode of the podcast, whether you're listening through Dental Assistant Nation or Doctor by Cuspid, wherever it is, we want to make sure that you know that there's opportunities for you to keep making a difference out there, to keep changing lives, because hey, that's why we got into dentistry in the first place, right? So make sure you're checking out whyidental.org. And here's to another great 50 years ahead for the Dental Lifeline Network. Kevin Henry signing off, wishing you nothing but success ahead.